Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Oh, yeah. You know, when we usually pick the sermon titles, I don't know, a month or so in advance, you know, and because we have to get all the music lined up and everything together for that. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, should I be doing a sermon on tithing this week? You know, oh Lord, tithing's often difficult anyway, because I think, oh no, that's the week they want our money. Oh, they're after our money again. It was that tithing sermon. Dang. Why did I choose this Sunday? Then I thought, well, no, it's good, because tithing is all about going into partnership with God. Tithing is the spiritual principle of aligning ourselves with the giving and receiving of the universe, right? So I thought, well, that's a good subject right now, because it's going into partnership. One of the greatest handicaps, I think, on the spiritual path is not sin. You know, we don't talk about sin very much in Unity, do we? Because we're not that old-timey religion. But I think what gets us in the way mostly is complacency. We can't get beyond our limitations of our humanness. We don't dare to move into spiritual partnership with God for one reason or another. Maybe we don't think it's going to work or whatever. But really, that's what we're impelled to do right now, isn't it? Is to move, is to shift, is to get through this seeming divide through a higher dedication to the things that we espouse, the things that we say we believe. And tithing for me, and I've got very long personal experience with this, tithing for me is that shift, is moving from a reliance on security, my human security, to a reliance on the assurances of God, of the assurances of the universe unfolding as it should, right? So tithing. Some people say, well, it's tithing of time, talent, and treasure, which is great. And it is time and talent too, but that's very amorphous. You know, what does that mean? How much time and talent do I provide for something? When you start talking about treasure, that's when it really hits the fan, as they say, because that's really gets our attention, because money, folks, is a loaded subject, isn't it? It's loaded. It's got all kinds of energy with it, and especially if you start talking money in certain circles, then, oh, yeah, right. Then all those old tapes go off. All those old signals shoot up to say, oh, I got to watch out now. They're talking about money. Because money, regardless of how we may think about it, takes up a lot of our time and energy. We need it every week, yes? We have to have money. I mean, what's more important to the physical survival of ourselves than money, right? Nothing, probably. Yeah? I know we say, oh, no, love is more important, or my family and health and all that. Great, but you still have money. And you're still dealing with money. You don't go to Walmart and say, well, I'll pay later. You know, don't have the money right now, but I'd like these goods. What are they going to say? Hello. Hello. Yeah. And your charge card is just another form of money. It's in a different disguise, but it's about money. You know, money is the devil's currency, correct? Money is the devil's currency, or money is God in action. Which one is it? It's both, actually. It depends on our attitude towards it, right? If we have a spiritualized attitude towards it, we see it as God in action. But if we're living from that old dispensation that says there's never enough, there's lack in my consciousness, I better not give because if I give, there's going to be less than I had before, right? Then it's the devil's currency, because it's our humanness is dragging us down into that pit of lack and negativity. That's the whole idea behind Roger Thiel's understanding there, right? When he says, ego seeks security, whereas spiritual awareness relies on God's assurance of flow. Yeah? Been in both places, and I've shared this before. Back in 1980, I was attending Unity Church of Austin, and my late wife, who was more advanced than I was at that time spiritually, she gave $5 into the basket at the end of the service. I went crazy. Why are you giving our money away to this church? Look at all the people there. They don't need our money. They've got tons of money. Look at this place. And we argued all through lunchtime about it. And you know, $5 is not a whole lot of money. Even back in 1980, it wasn't a huge amount. But for me, it seemed like a huge amount. It seemed like we didn't need to be doing that. I just didn't understand the principles of tithing. It's ironic because I did understand the principles of flow. I'd always trusted God to provide for me in my life. I just hadn't translated it into actually putting it into practice in the very nitty-gritty parts of my life, like money, right? And isn't that the gap for all of us? It's the gap to close that chasm between what I understand to be true and what I'm prepared to live. She was right, of course. Always. I did start tithing, and from that time, I'm not tithed because I made that connection. Tithing is going into partnership with God. It is not giving away anything. It is going into partnership with God. And when you partner with God, God always provides enough. And that's been my testimony over the last 35 years that that works. And it doesn't always work in a straight trajectory. There can be flow. There can be troughs. There can be highs. But the flow is always there, right? It always provided for. One of the miracles about tithing, I think, is when you say, well, I'm going to give 10%, then there's only 90% left for me to do all the rest of my life. How am I going to do that? Well, what I've found is that 90% seems to be enough. In fact, more than enough. There's more money to go around. Now, how that works, I don't know, except that I've chosen to be in partnership with God, with principle, right? And so it's not about less, like I have less, no. I am choosing to not rely on my own security or security of my bank account or my job or whatever seems to be so real, because it isn't that real, right? The real is spirit, and I need to be in the flow with spirit. So I offer up 5 ways to tithe. And what is it? Why? And these are taken from Roger Thiel's book. Roger Thiel, the same guy that talked about security and assurance. And if you're interested, this is out in the foyer, so you can take one with you if you like. Let me say, first of all, this isn't a sermon about getting their money, okay? Please hear me. This is about try it. If you believe that it works, if you want to put it into practice, see if it works. If it doesn't, let it go, right? But don't be like my grandmother, and I've shared this story before, when she said she was going to put into practice something that a preacher had told her. Preacher had told her, if you had faith that you can make a cake and you can put it in the oven, and without turning the gas on, it'll come out all cooked and baked. So she said, I'll do it. So she put it in the oven, left it for 45 minutes, didn't turn the gas on, came out, it was nothing cooked at all about it. She said, I knew it wouldn't work. Now, if your humanness tells you, I knew it wouldn't work, it's not going to work, guess what? According to the law, it's not going to work, right? If those are your thoughts, then that's the result. So don't just give up before you started, yeah? Put it into practice. Give it a good college try, as they say, before you give up on it. Because our humanness will play tricks. It will try and keep us stuck in seeming security, right? Which is actual limitation, limited thinking. And God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to expand into something greater. So here's the 5 principles, his formula for tithing. Number 1, choose a percentage of a total weekly income before expenses that you would find fulfilling to share, perhaps a bit of a stretch as well. I think that's the thing. It's got to be a stretch. It's got to get us out of our comfort zone, out of our complacency, right? But I do not think you have to tithe 10% initially. I think it could start at 1% or 0.5%, right? Or something. I know there are metaphysical teachers who say, no, it's got to be 10% gross. Otherwise, it's not a tithe. Now, to me, that's setting yourself up for failure, you know, because how can we do that in reality? I mean, we have to move into this, don't we? If we're doing something new, we have to test it out first. Take up bench pressing, for instance. Don't start at 500 pounds. It's going to kill you. Start at 35 pounds or whatever you feel comfortable with and build up, right? That's tried and true testimony around physical health. So in the same way, tithing, if I'm going to start off at a ridiculous percentage, then it's going to kill me here. I'm not going to survive. So I start out where I feel comfortable, and I move forward as I strengthen myself. So just as you strengthen your body with exercise, so you strengthen your resolve and your understanding of truth spiritually as you partner with God in the process. So that's the first thing. Choose something that's realistic for you, but something that's kind of a little bit pushing the edge here, you know? Second, commit to sharing this percentage every week, even if it's only 0.5% or 1% before paying for or buying anything else. Maintain total consistency in this systematic giving. Why? Why systematic? It's a habit. It's habit forming like anything else, right? Same with exercise. If I don't do it regularly, I'm not going to do it at all, probably. It has to be something I commit to every day to do that particular thing. And that's why I give thanks for dogs. Because my dog gets me out every morning for a walk. And every evening for a walk. And even though I might not go for a walk myself, my dog is so insistent. And when he sees me getting out of bed, he lifts himself up to his full height. With his arms up in the air, his legs up in the air like that, like arms, and he crashes down on me, and he hurts me, man. Those claws really. Don't get so excited. It's okay, I'm coming. So whatever motivation we need to get us moving, you know, in that direction. A dog does? Oh, sorry. Yes, you want to be reminded, your consciousness needs to be reminded of the flow of God's good. And if you don't do it systematically, you forget. It's like showing up for meditation or showing up for church or showing up for anything. You know, you're making it a dedicated part of your life, of your practice, right? And then he goes on, he says, you don't want to be giving in a haphazard or occasional way, therefore maintain this program with great loving devotion. Three, share the gifts where the light of Spirit's presence and love are being radiated into the world with some activity, organization, or person that is uplifting humankind and wherever you are receiving spiritual food. See, that's a key. You've got to be fired up about where you're giving. If you're giving out of obligation, forget about it. We want the energy of Spirit. You're not going to go into partnership with something you find boring. You want to go into partnership with something you find inspiring, yes? So give to that which inspires you. That's the key here. I'm hope some of it's going to come to the church because you feel inspired here. But wherever you feel inspired is where you need to give that tithe, that gift. Share it with love and joy and give it with no strings attached. No expectations or demands. Why is that important? It goes nowhere. If you're giving it from security, from ego security, well, I hope because I'm giving now, they're going to appreciate me and I'm going to get more good back. You know, that's really not coming from a spiritual perspective. If you're giving with no strings attached, you're trusting your assurance of the universe to provide for you, yes? So you've expanded your consciousness. Very important. I must admit, though, when I first started this practice, they told me it was okay to expect something because they said, put it into practice and you'll see results. And I did see results, and I was enthused about it, and it kept me going. But that was a very early stage. I don't want to stay at that stage. I want to now give just because that's who I am, yeah? Not because of any results that may come, though I trust the results. I know God is good. God doesn't need my thanks, but I still thank God every day, yeah? Because I need to maintain a grateful attitude to life. And I can never give enough thanks to God, yeah? Amen. Number four, as you receive your income or any unexpected income, celebrate it. There's that word again, feeling good and passionate about it. give heaping thanks for it, then share from it at an established level or more if you have a desire. I love serendipitous things that come to us because they give us an opportunity to give back again because they were not expected, right? So it's a bonus for us, and therefore it's a joy to give 10% of that. It frees that gift to do its wonderful work in the world. And finally, 5, stay in touch with the giving impulse deep within your heart. We're not going to find security in this world. I can't guarantee anything, can you? You guarantee it's all going to work out the way you hoped it would? But we can guarantee our love. We can guarantee that love will be with us, that there's that assurance that no matter what happens, God is with us every step of the way. Yeah, and will bring wonderful things to be. I think it was you, Becky, that shared on Facebook today about trusting this process and knowing how great God is. And anybody that's faced cancer, you said, will know this. And you, I know you have, many of us have. And it's true that when you go through something with that faith, with that assurance, it gives you deeper awareness of the power of these principles working in our lives. So stay in touch with that. After maintaining these practices, be alert for the nudge to increase the percentage being shared. Commit to the new percentage and enjoy it until expansion taps you on the shoulder again. Aspire to reach or even exceed the 10% level of sharing from all you receive. This is called your tithe. And most who have entered the realm of masterful living are totally committed to continuous tithing. Because when you once you started it, you don't want to stop it. Remember, always stay in the flow because you can't outgive God. These are wonderful principles of how to live our lives. And like I say, if you want a copy of this, it's out there in the foyer. I'm reminded of John Templeton. John Templeton, great financier, the Templeton Funds and all that. He gave a lot of money to Unity and still does. And in fact, the new spiritual institute that Unity Ministries has taken over from Unity World Headquarters was funded in part by the Templeton Foundation. He passed away a few years ago, but his foundation still goes. And at the end of his life, he was tithing 90% of his income, 90%. And you could say, well, he had plenty of money. But still, he had plenty of obligations, I'm sure, right? So, but he was able to give away 90%. That was his understanding of the flow of good. I'm reminded of Bill Gates, too, because Bill Gates, at one point in his career, even though he was a multi-billionaire, gave hardly anything away. And then there was a shift. I remember the time when it came. He says, I'm going to shift this thinking. I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start being a philanthropist. And he's given away literally billions and billions and billions of dollars as a result. In fact, he can't give it away fast enough now, it seems. Is he impoverished as a result? No. He's got more. So these are examples in our larger sphere, you know, of people who have much wherewithal to do this. But I think the same principle applies, yes? If we give from wherever we can give, then we're going to be blessed, right? But the key here is don't give from obligation. Don't give because, oh my God, there's the sermon again. Don't give from that consciousness. Give from the idea that I am going into partnership with a greater reality here. I'm claiming my good as I never have before, and God will not let me down. I cannot outgive God. I did it. We got through it. Thank you, God. One of the greatest gifts of spirit is the gift of the silence, of meditation, of being in alignment with God in that secret chamber of our own heart and being. All the great religions talk about it, the importance of that time in meditation, the Buddhists, the Hindus, Sufis, Christian practice. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, called it the silence. The whole of Silent Unity Prayer Ministry is based in that. Every hour of each day in the prayer vigil chamber at Unity Village in Silent Unity, where all the prayer requests are kept, prayed over, someone is there praying in the silence without fail. In that silence, we contact the presence of God. We contact the still, small voice of Spirit. In that spaciousness, that emptiness, is everything. And so we are wise at times of difficulty and uncertainty to spend more of our effort and time in the silence, to come apart, to find that center where true power, true authority lies. And its most essential nature is love. So take a moment now to drop down into that silent place, to the still point of the turning world, and renew yourself, not by thinking about it, not by trying to make it happen, but simply by being present to what is, to breathe. Breathe in love and breathe out love in the silence. In the silence. And so we say, thank you, God, for this still place, always available to us, the source of all good. May we put what we understand to be true into practice this week, to bathe ourselves in love and to extend love to others. May we find that assurance that trumps security. And so it is. Thank you, God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And I am grateful.